Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers Arizona Cardinals, and recording on a Tuesday afternoon with co-host Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site. This episode 642, and, you know, it's one of our final pre-free agency shows because the Combine, it has begun. We'll probably break that down next week. Seth, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, isn't it?
Yeah, we're almost through the season, man, and it's fun. You know, it's been a lot, and so, you know, getting through this part to the more exciting part is really where you want to be at, right?
Yeah, and then once the combine, you've got, you know, a solid 6 weeks of nonsense and rumors, which will be a blast. But we'll have free agency, and we'll talk about. I think we'll talk about what Monty Austin Ford and Jonathan Gannon said at the combine later in the week, as well as what Austin Ford and owner Michael Bidwell had to say over the weekend last Friday on Arizona Sports 98.7. We can break that down, but in this show, we want to focus on the roster. We're gonna talk about the franchise tag and why we don't think the Cardinals are gonna use it, and then kind of go over by position. We're gonna go position by position, looking at the offseason needs. So we're not gonna give players quite yet, but say, hey, this position, what do they need to add this offseason? What's the priority? So Seth, let's go ahead and get started with the franchise tag. And the franchise window opened up last week at the beginning of the week, and it is open until basically the end of next week. So teams who have players who are about to hit free agency can extend that negotiating window, and it pays those players a whole lot. Do you think that there's still a place for the franchise tag or the transition tag, for that matter?
I don't really think so, but I mean, I get why it happens, unfortunately. You know, it's one of those situations where it just doesn't feel like a necessity at this point any longer, right? And there should be more ability to like move if that's what they want to do. I'm not saying it needs to be like baseball, you know, like that's the bad one, right? Like where all the stars go to one team because there's no salary cap and things of that nature. And, you know, the franchise tag, even though it's not used by the Cardinals very often, it is something that is, you know, a positive for the Cardinals when you look at it in the sense of that, you know, they're able to get teams or, you know, they're able to retain players they probably wouldn't be able to otherwise. All that being said, you know, it's one of those, I think it was a good intention, and now, you know, that we're so far along, it's not really needed anymore.
It's interesting because it gives, and I guess why the teams want it, because it gives them another tool to limit the movement of a singular player, and it pays that player an awful lot of money. It's a lot of money, depending on which way you go. If we look at what the franchise tag is projected to be, and as you guys might already know, the franchise tag is basically, it can add exclusivity, but it allows a team to continue to have priority negotiating with a player who's going to be a free agent. Allowing them to, well, if they use a non-exclusive, then they're, you know, the player can't even talk to other teams, and they'll pay them like the average of the top five salaries like this year at that position. And some of these positions, that some of these salaries are crazy. You could do non-exclusive where it allows a player to negotiate, and then if another team assigns them to an offer sheet, that the original team has a chance to match that or opt out, in which case the signing team would give up two first-round picks. I can't remember the last time a team actually signed a franchise player to an offer sheet. It's been too long. And then there's teams who use it, and you know, it would be interesting if we saw Minnesota use it with Sam Darnold just as a way to then trade with no intention of re-signing him, but intending to trade to get something for that player. But interestingly enough, while players used to really dislike it, the one thing that happens with this, and transition tags work the same way, only there's no compensation if a team, but the original team has a right to match that deal and lock up that player. The interesting thing is that the way the franchise tag has gone, because it's been inflated so much, it does hamstring that team, because unless he is a top player, you then basically, so right now the quarterback tag is more than $42 million, and you're saying you franchise Sam Darnold, well, you're going to pay him $42.4 million, and while maybe on a long-term deal on the open market he might not get $42 million a year, you can guarantee where the negotiating automatically begins. It is automatically, if you're willing to pay me 1 year at $42 million, that is now where the contract average begins. And I guess that's, I accept that when we talk about the Cardinals, that's why the Cardinals haven't used it. The last time they used the transition tag on Kenyon Drake back in 2020, they used the franchise tag on Chandler Jones in 2016. They used, I believe, Calais Campbell, the franchise tag before logging, and then Carlos Dansby. And so it's been very, very, very few times. It's been rare that the Cardinals have used those tags. And it's probably because they haven't had those top free agents.
No, they haven't. And I mean, you look at it, they haven't had the players or the need to retain those guys. And so it makes it difficult. You know, with this group and how it's coming together, we'll see where it ends up or how it ends up. But overall, this is a year where obviously the Cardinals didn't need it. Didn't use it, and so now you have just getting to this group getting ready to get into the offseason and you know, make plays with guys and things of that nature. And the franchise tag, I mean, kind of the bow on this is the franchise tag has basically become when you're not able to actually sign or retain your best players, and so you just
keep them around for one more. They say you've got a small window, you got another championship window, you're going to pay him a crap load of money. Like, if we look at the roster, like, there's some players, there's some free agents. You're like, the Cardinals should, you know, we'd like them to bring him back. You know, Kaiser White, wouldn't he be a nice addition to come back? You know, like, it would make sense why they would want him, but do you want him at $27.8 million?
Right, exactly.
That's what you have to pay him on the franchise tag, and there is no way in the world I think anyone believes that Kaiser White should be getting $27 million a year. Or the same for Will Hernandez. Will Hernandez, yeah, re-sign him. If you franchise him, it's $25.8 million, because with offensive linemen, it's all offensive linemen, and so you're getting basically a big tackle contract. You know, LJ Collier, sure, you could add the $24 million is what it would cost to franchise him. So the Cardinals simply don't have, and here's the one that makes perhaps the most sense if you really, really believe in him. Matt Prater, it would be $6.6 million. But again, who's paying Matt Prater $6.6 million this year?
Right, and yeah, where is that going to come from?
Yep. And so that is why, once again, the Cardinals will not use the franchise tag on anybody. You know, they don't have anybody set to be a free agent who's considered a top free agent. They don't have any players where you're like, we have to keep him. Kaiser White, 100% could be replaced. 100%. Will Hernandez, good player. Replaceable? Mm-hmm. 100%. Matt Prater, they already have his. They technically already have his replacement under contract for 2025. Coming up next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on and talk about the offensive side of the ball. Let's look at each position group and what need does each group have. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. You know, we have free agents. We're not talking set players. We're not talking players, Seth. But if we're looking at each group, that we definitely know that there is some need at multiple positions, and that need varies from group to group what they would be. Let's start with the quarterback position. I mean, isn't it right that there's a lot of people who say they need the Cardinals this offseason need to get a new starting quarterback? Is that what you're hearing on your site, even with some of your writers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing, and you know, you and I have talked about it. It's not gonna happen this offseason. They've set it up perfectly where, you know, the growth has been with it, with this new regime has been there, and now it becomes the question of do they move on after next year or extend them? I don't think they can stay status quo, right? So like next year is like the decision or the make or break. Are they going to move on from him, or will they extend him? And so that'll be the situation for next offseason and the conversation. And you know, I would say if his play is similar to last year, they probably can't extend him, but they also can't really let him play out his contract, right? Like you have to, you know, as the saying goes, crap or get off the pot at some point. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't know if you can keep working with that or going forward in that way. You know, they had this slight progress this year that we were hoping to see. So it'll be, again, if they make the playoffs next year, it's going to be hard to move on from him. If they don't, you know, barring an injury to, or, you know, multiple injuries to multiple key players, then it's a little easier. But it's what I tell everybody. I mean, you are talking about, first off, the Arizona Cardinals, where, you know, a player of this caliber is few and far between in terms of success. And then from there, you're talking about a franchise that, you know, hasn't exactly done a great job of deciding when the right time to let go of players is. You know, we can look back as recently as this regime and their decisions on Zach Allen and Byron Murphy, right? Like, and you and I were not opposed to those. I think we both wanted to see them bring Zach Allen back, but, you know, we weren't going to be, you know, epileptic about not bringing him back. But at the same time, you look at it and you go, okay, well, you know, if they end up moving on from Kyler, what do they have in-house? And I think that's where the question becomes.
Clayton Tune, man. He's the – no, he's not. Stop that. Nobody thinks Clayton Tune is the answer. Nobody.
Well, and you think about it too, man. It's kind of wild to think about. And I know 2022 wasn't a great, you know, season. Obviously, the Cardinals finished up with a high draft pick and things of that nature. You know, Murray goes 3-8 that year. McCoy went 1-2 and then, you know, does the McCoy thing and gets hurt again. And then obviously Trace McSorley, and then you had David Blough. So it was a amalgamation of garbage that year. But, you know, you look at it the year after that, Dobbs and Tune combined for a 1-8 record. You know, when Kyler has been out, they're just not as good of a team. And that's just the hard part is, you know, would we prefer them to finish off better? Absolutely. I don't think either of us would disagree with that. But we also know that they are worse off with whatever they have right now, including if, you know, like we talked about with the Daniel Jones thing, right? Like they won't be a better team. and then the other thing, you know, we can discuss, I don't know how to you know, go about it particularly, but there's the reality that there are just, they're still not exactly very highly thought of. And when you have players the last 2 years that were high draft picks that said that they would not play for the Arizona Cardinals, and this was before the drafts took place, you know, they're like, well, we just won't declare if they have the first pick. You know, the idea of like, oh, well, you know, if you suck, you know, if you move on from Kyler and you go to Arch Manning, or, you know, you suck and you end up having a shot at Arch Manning, do we really think
that's what we 100% know that a Manning will play his cards right?
Right. And that's the thing. It's like they've already done it before with the Chargers. Do we really think that the Cardinals are going to be able to go in and be like, hey, guys, we got this now? Like, you know, another new quarterback, probably new coaches if you end up with the first pick, right? But this time it's going to work out, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to hire Eli or Peyton to be your head coach, right? Right.
You know? That would be funny. So my question is this. Now, I'm sure people would love to say that the Cardinals need to upgrade it at backup. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I
just don't know. Like
you're going to go pay a guy. Or are you going to pay like some of the Justin Fields not going to go for backup money. Daniel Jones, great idea. He's not going to be a backup anywhere. Are you going to go get an established backup, or are you going to bring someone like Desmond Ridder last year to compete with Tune? I think that's the route they're going to go. That is going to be someone that
but even seems like
he'd be the backup, but it'll be someone to compete with Tune. Because I will tell you this: they do like Clayton Tune in that building. That right. doesn't mean anything for us,
right? And but that's the thing too, is like they might say like, "Hey, he's perfect. He's the perfect guy to play half a game or to play a 1 to 2 game stretch," right? And we've seen that that's the idea for a lot of backups. Like, people get obsessed with this idea of like, hey, you need Nick Folk in Philly. It's like, no, that was a fluke. By the way, the Jaguars then paid Nick Folk $80 million and he flamed out.
Nick Foles.
Foles, sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Nick Folk, different Folk kicker. And kicker. He wasn't playing quarterback.
Probably would have played it just as well as Nick Foles did in Jacksonville. But, you know, and that's the thing. And so it's hard to have a guy, like you said, like a Justin Fields. Like, he wants an opportunity to start. He's not going to get that here. Obviously,
and getting a guy would, like Justin Fields, would send a message, maybe not intended by the front office, but it would make it look to the fans that Kyler's on thin ice and that this guy could push it. Now, Daniel Jones, like we heard the report that they're going to be interested in. Sure, they might be interested in Daniel Jones. That doesn't mean that Daniel Jones is going to be interested in the least as being 100% the backup. You're going to have to get a guy that, you know, so Zach Wilson comes to mind. He's harmless. Trey Lance, Taylor Heineke, the guys like Marcus Mariota, but those guys are going to cost a little bit more as well. Jameis Winston, he's not anybody's starter. He's fun for a couple of games, but yeah, that's the best that we're going to see. I you know, maybe they go get someone who is clearly better than Tune, who's going to be the backup, and then Tune has to compete, and then ultimately is a practice squatter, or it's going to be a scenario like Desmond Ridder where we think that he should be better than Tune, but he's not, and Tune wins the job again, which would be fine, except we still don't want to see Clayton Tune starting the football games, do we?
Right, and that's the thing is, you know, eventually these guys have to be able to perform when they're given the opportunity, and you know, again, to Tune's credit, he had one game where he was put in a pretty much impossible situation against a very good defense. And, you know, did terribly, but they also
and didn't look like he had nothing redeeming as a player at all.
Right. And But to be fair, too, as you said, like, they like him in the building, but they also didn't like him enough at the time to let him start when over bringing in Josh Dobbs on a week's notice, right?
Correct.
And what's interesting is, like, you go back to, like, Brock Purdy, right? And Purdy got five starts his rookie year as the Mr. Irrelevant. And that is it's an interesting thing, because, like, would Tune have eventually started if Kyler didn't come back last year? And, you know, we saw the same lack of progression, I guess is the word, for Dobbs that season. Because, you know, Purdy only started because of the injuries.
It was only because everyone got hurt. Everyone got hurt.
Right. Because remember, they went with Jimmy G. I mean, yeah. It was obviously supposed to be Trey Lance, but then they went with Jimmy G. And then Jimmy got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to think, because, you know, you would think at some point, if they felt like it was, if he was, could be a guy, that they would have given him a shot, and it just never happened.
Yeah. Looking at the running back position, I think this is an interesting position, because you've got a starter already. You have a young backup, like a guy that you think is emerging in Trey Benson. You've got a special team stud in DJ Dallas. You've got Amari DiMercato, who the team really likes as a third down back, and you've got Michael Carter to compete as well. They have absolutely zero. They can bring in a player, but they have absolute zero need, because they have bodies. They have people to fill roles, and they even have competition, like Michael Carter looking on the outside in, who could compete, but could fill a third down role or could fill a backup role. I don't see them doing anything in running back. Do you? Do I? I mean, do you?
No. I mean, there's no way, unless there's something like injury-wise with James Conner or Trey Benson that we don't know about.
Wide receiver. They've got Zay Jones, Greg George becoming free agents. They've got Michael Wilson under contract. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr. You've got young guys in Tajon Palmer, Isaiah Weaver. But they need a starter caliber receiver, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, people really like Greg Dortch. I just don't. I mean, no. I haven't seen.
I mean, you can bring him back. I don't count on him. Don't count on him. He wasn't well, especially late in the year. Like, they stopped using him as their slot guy. They like going with size. As Zay Jones got healthy and was getting reps in practice, they were moving Marv and Michael Wilson inside so that Zay could play outside. And so, well, you know, Greg Dortch would be fine, but they need a starting caliber receiver added at minimum. At minimum, that's at least what they need to do. They need to add probably a couple, but that might be in the draft. That might be from the depth that they already have. But they must add a starting caliber receiver this offseason. It doesn't have to be a big name. I think you could say Bo Melton. You could say Josh Palmer. It doesn't have to be T. Higgins or Keenan Allen, though, you know, Keenan Allen is a name that keeps, you know, coming around there. It could be a K.J. Osborne. It could be a Nelson Aguilar. Like, someone who is who started NFL games and could be that guy who could, you know, ideally could be your third pass catcher or fourth pass catcher behind, you know, it's going to be Trey. It's going to be Marv. And then it's got to be someone at least on the caliber as Michael Wilson.
Right. And the biggest thing that they need is they need Marv to take a step from year one to two, and they need Michael Wilson to give them a full season of health. But yeah, I mean, they need a guy that, and I think maybe Zay Jones is that guy. It was so tough, was it not? Because you have the reality that he was there to basically do what he did at the end of the season, but he missed so many games and so much practice time, obviously, with the suspension. And then it took, what, like six games to get him into...
Yeah, before they actually trusted him in the lineup.
Right. So it just makes it tough, man.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Zay Jones is back. That's not a sexy move. Not at all. But I 100% even... Tight end. They... don't like, you can add guys, but their number one is set. Unlike they like Elijah Higgins as their number two, you have a young blocking tight end in Tip Ryman. And so if they add anyone, it's someone who can compete with a guy that we've never seen in Travis Vokolek. So they literally don't need to do anything at tight end, do they?
No. I mean, if there's an easy upgrade over like an Elijah Higgins, you can make that move. But I don't feel like that's, like you said, it's not necessary.
No. An offensive line where they have lots of things. They need at least one starting guard. They need guard depth or two starting guards. It depends on what you see, what they think about Isaiah Adams. So it might be two starters. It might be a starter and a Tom Peter, someone to compete. They need competition at backup tackle. I don't know if you're ready to roll with Christian Jones as your backup tackle, though maybe he played well in his one start. But yeah, like, what do you see them needing? They need at least one starter, and they need at least two depth guys that probably you're going to have to add in veterans.
It was interesting, their conversation about Jonah Williams today at the press conference, because they obviously can't go, oh, we're going to move on. And they're like, the roundabout way of, they're like, we're excited to get Jonah back, but there's really no timetable. And this regime especially doesn't do timetables, right? They don't even do injury announcements.
So bad.
And so, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it works out, because while we know that they need that, I mean, doesn't it feel like you bring Beecham back and then you pursue things from there? Like, you don't have to go sign a free agent. If you bring Beecham back, you can draft somebody, or, you know, it just gives you so much more flexibility.
That 100%. If you sign Beecham, you kind of take, so you're okay with Beecham. Maybe Jonah Williams rather. Now, here's the thing about Jonah's contract. If he's currently not healthy, he has $2.5 million or $3.5 million, don't remember, in injury guarantees. But if he's injured, he's guaranteed that money. If he's healthy, they have till March 17th to cut him, or they pay him $1.5 million in a roster bonus, and that $2.5 million then becomes fully guaranteed. So they have to decide. And if he's not clear yet, like he couldn't pass a physical, then they're going to be like, they have to eat $2.5 million either way. And so it might be a case where they, you know, he's worth the wait, but we could get someone we know can start. And so if he doesn't work out, all right, no big deal. And, you know, as we get close to the draft, I could see them 100%. I could see them, like, if Jonah's healthy, say they draft Josh Simmons, or even like a Kelvin Banks, I would 100% be on board and would see them maybe using one of those guys at guard as a rookie, just to get the best five out there. And if I recall, Simmons has played a little guard. He's played both sides, I think. So it'd be like the idea of Paris Johnson last year, only, or his rookie year, only they're like, no, you're going to play right tackle. And so, but yeah. Coming to next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on to the defensive side of the ball and talk about that. What are the positions that are we going through that? That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk on the web on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line. What do you say? What do you believe is the bare minimum that the Cardinals must do in free agency with the defensive line?
I mean, that's the hard thing, is because they need to add something, but you don't want to force it. Now, obviously, if you can get a guy that is a game, I don't want to say wrecker, but if you can get a guy that is a very, you know, upgrade to everything that you've got, I think you do it. Yeah. But from there, we kind of have to hope that Bilal and Justin Jones do anything, right? Like, at this point, like, you can't.
Well, like we talked about, their front four, their top four, if they're healthy, you feel okay. Because you've got Justin Jones, you've got Bilal Nichols, you've got Darius Robinson in year two, and you've got Dante Stills. As a four to stop the top the defensive line room, that's not terrible. It's not.
And so you look at it and you say about it, you go, hey, like, we can't go into this season with Bilal and Justin Jones as our top guys, but we also can't go get more Bilal and Justin Jones, right? Like,
you're going to have to spend more money to get someone right. You're taking one of your high priced guys from last year and playing them less, or signing a guy to a high price. You know, I say Milton Williams is like, can you pay him $16 to $18 million and then play him 40% of the snaps? You don't want to do that.
Right. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go about this. Because I don't think it's as simple as like, yeah, just go get Milton Williams, right? Like, it's just not that simple.
I think they will add, like, for me, I think they should add two, you know, high-end depth guys, like guys who probably have some starts in their career but aren't, like, clear starters. They could start, like, kind of like what Roy Lopez had been. You know, bringing back Roy Lopez would bring up. But I think in free agency, they need to add or retain two veterans and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, I would agree.
We go to the edge. They have so many needs at the edge. What's the minimum? What's the bare minimum for the Cardinals adding an edge in free agency?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, because they have to upgrade the position. They have to add somebody that gives some type of juice, right? But at the same time, you don't. We've talked about Josh Sweat's probably the ideal guy. Like, if you can get Josh Sweat at that 16 to 20 million range, that's ideal. But like, you don't want to go higher and break the bank, because there's a reason those guys reach free agency, right? Or for the Khalil Mack signing, like, are you that close to where you can sign a Khalil Mack, right? And I know we're not talking about specific players, but just in that type of way, like, you know, Mack is probably the top guy at off the edge, but he's also 34. And are you going to pay a guy, you know, $23 million a year at that age? The one name that's interesting to me, I think they need to re-sign Baron Browning. I think that's the first thing.
Yes.
But the other name that's semi-interesting to me is the Vegas kid, Malcolm Kuntz.
Malcolm Kuntz. Yeah. I was thinking that too, because like, he's coming off an injury. He had the 10 sacks before, so he's not the flashy name, but he's got production. He could be a starter, or it could be a rotation. And, you know, having him rotate with Zaven and ideally OJ, BJ Ojulari and Baron Browning would be kind of ideal.
Yeah. And then the other thing with that is, you know, obviously different position groups, but Christian Garcia, you know, knows a little bit about him too, right? So,
yes.
So, you know, that's where I would be at. I if they sign Sweat, you know, to a 3-year contract in the 50 million range, or 50 to 60 million range, I'm not going to be upset. I think that'll be a great signing. I think it's a veteran presence and all of that, but, you know, at the same time, like, they've got to either get an obvious upgrade, or they got to take a more cautious approach. Like we said, like with the Kuntz, or there's a couple other guys that we'll talk about when we get there.
Yeah. Inside linebacker, unless Owen Papo, they view him as he's ready to take a starting job, then you've got to get a starter, right? Whether it's bringing back Kaiser, whether it's signing a guy, this, you know, it's got to be a starter. Dre Greenlaw would be a dream. Zach Bond would be a dream, but they've got to add a starter level inside backer, or someone of like at least Chris Barnes or better, so that if Papo isn't all that, he could play that position.
There, There's a name that I want to throw at you, and I just don't know why this guy can't stay on a team. Ernest Jones. Like, isn't he kind of the ideal guy?
Cause
like,
oh my goodness, yes, he's so good, but there's something about him that teams don't like for some reason.
Right. And did you see his post on X the other day?
I didn't.
It's just kind of out of the blue, like where he said, I don't know. He's like, I don't normally address this, but like, I've never had an issue with a teammate before. So like, is that why? Like, is he considered,
which would be immediate turnoff for this regime immediately. If you're not a good teammate, 100%, you're not being part of this organization.
Right. And so here's the exact thing. So I don't want to misspeak it, you know, and it said, I've never been one to voice my frustrations publicly, but there's something that's been weighing on me for far too long. I've always prided myself on being a good teammate, and not a single person who's ever shared a locker room with me can say I've disrespected them. So, like, that's the question I've got, you know, because it just is odd that a guy that is that talented continues to.
Right. The Rams basically
traded him for nothing, gave him away
to the Titans. The Titans are like, I don't. And then he flourished in Seattle, but he played well when he played. So yeah, he would be a great addition, but you know, the backup stuff. Let's look at the cornerback position, and you know, honestly, that's a position I don't, well, people might say they need, I don't know how badly they need. They've got Sean Murphy Bunting, like him or not. They got him under contract for two more years, and that's why they signed him. You've got Garrett Williams, so you feel great about your slot. They drafted Elijah Jones and Max Melton. You feel good about them. You got Star Thomas still, a guy that they kind of like. Like, so at best, you're kind of looking for someone who could be at that Star Thomas level because you want Max to start, right? Because otherwise, and Sean Murphy Bunting on the bench would feel you with what you're paying him, because he's locked in this year with that salary. So you got to basically count him as a starter. And let's be honest, he wasn't bad. Like, at the beginning of the year was a little frustrating, but he played pretty all right. And like, he played what he's done. He was okay. He wasn't too much of a liability. They didn't have terrible issues at cornerback last year.
No, the only one I'm kind of interested in, because I think you can get him at a slight discount, would be like a Charvarius Ward, a guy that's, you know, had success in the NFC West. He struggled last year, so I don't want people to think I'm like, but I think coming off that, like, you could get him at a potential discount, and he is a, you know, he's a long rangey, kind of fits the bill of what Gannon loves in his corners, and just, you know, would potentially give you an upgrade. But like, again, I don't, not anything that I would overdo, right? Like,
definitely not.
And then and again, we'll talk about the draft later, but as we've always talked about, like, yes, in the draft, like, if you want to draft a corner, do it every year. Like, you can't have enough of those guys.
You can replace Star Thomas. There's nothing wrong with that. You can replace Star Thomas. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you want to replace him with a $6 million vet? Where that means you're not playing Max, or you're pushing some of Garrett Williams playing time? No, you don't want to do that. You don't. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why, you know, if we look at last year's draft, you know, one of the reasons why the Cardinals didn't extend Pat and take Cooper DeJean, how is he viewed? He's not a boundary corner, or he hasn't been a boundary corner yet. And the Cardinals have no issue at slot with Garrett Williams. And so if they only saw DeJean as a slot, why would they go and draft him when they've got a slot that they love?
Right, exactly.
We look at the safety position. As currently constructed, they have no need. Just depth. Just, you know, add players. But if they move on from Jalen Thompson, like we both have, like I've suggested, that probably that's predicted that's going to happen this offseason. Well, then you need another starter, at least, you know, at least someone of the Andre Sacheret kind of rotational start guy. But someone, because if they think the rabbit's ready, then you can start Rabbit and Buddha, and you have a guy behind them that you have a guy behind them who can play that third safety because they like playing a lot of three safety sets, or could start if Rabbit's not quite there. But other than that, bodies at safety are fun, whatever.
Right, exactly.
Special teams, they've got a kicker, they've got a punter. They don't have a long snapper. So I guess that's what they need there. They need a long snapper.
Well, it'll be the same thing. They'll sign Aaron Brewer and
unless Brewer's done, and unless Brewer's like, okay, I'm done. Well, then they're gonna find one.
But... Right. And that's how it always works out, right? Like it's always Aaron Brewer until it's not gonna be Aaron Brewer, and then
we had some technical issues with the final spot, the final things, comments after Aaron Brewer that Seth and I were talking about, but it was essentially it. Everything else was just letting you know what was coming up. We'll have a show later this week to talk about things that Monty Osifor and Jonathan Gannon said at the NFL Combine. Now I'm recording this after the NFLPA report cards came out. We'll talk about those. But that was Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.
Whoa!